fall off your chair and don't drop your coffee.
All right, Bucks fans, it's another draft edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports himself, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here, and Bill Curry Ford is matching your tax refund for your deposit on your brand new vehicle up to $5,000. Incredible offer. Check it all out, BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name. 65 years in Tampa. They serve the community. They serve customers. They are fantastic. And the dealership is the giant. It's the biggest, baddest, most modern, incredible dealership Tampa has ever seen. Largest service bay in the country, says General Manager Sean Sullivan. It is that impressive. And they're doing mobile service. They have great prices, as always. The Ira Kaufman discount is in effect. Just head to Bill Curry Ford. You can email Sean directly if you have a question about what you want to try to accomplish, whatever that might be. And that's just so valuable to have someone in the industry, a general manager of a large dealership with tons of experience, guiding you on what you want to do and where the markets are going and the vehicles and all that stuff. Sean is fantastic. BillCurryFord.com. Get there today. The 2024 Roush F-150 is coming soon. It is unreal. I don't know if you've seen the videos on that. But you can reserve yours now, BillCurryFord.com. And FloridasElitereStoration.com, get there too, FloridasElitereStoration.com. This is where you go to prepare your disaster plan for whenever that disaster hits you. At some point, it's coming to your property, a flood, a fire, storm damage, mold, whatever it is, lightning, neighbor's tree falls on your house. FloridasElitereStoration.com is there for you 24/7. Insurance companies demand that you start mitigating the damages of your property very, very quickly. And if you don't do that, then they're going to weasel out of the money that they owe you to repair your property. And that's a serious problem. You need someone you can trust. Florida's Elite Restoration is that company. You need an offensive coordinator fighting for you in your corner immediately 24/7 when these emergencies strike. So you call them 24/7 before you call your insurance company, you get a free evaluation, and then you decide how you want to move forward. They're fantastic. FloridasElitereStoration.com. When you call, when you first call, mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman, and then after your free evaluation, if you need their services, they're going to give you $500 toward your deductible or toward cash back for the restoration on your property. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Great local company, family owned, just like Bill Curry Ford. FloridasElitereStoration.com. All right, here is the sage. Welcome him on in. Ira, put down that coffee, put down that donut. The fans want to hear from you. How are you, first of all? And are you fired up for the draft a week away? And you put your column out, Ira. Surprised me. You put your foot down on who Jason Light is supposed to draft. You just came right out and said, draft this guy. You made some bold claims here. How are you? What do you got to say for yourself?
You know what, Stevie? I'm feeling a little invigorated. I just told Lee that I've got my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I got a chocolate donut with sprinkles. That always gets my metabolism going. And Steve, just very briefly, I'm addressing this to Lee DeKemper. Let us pay a 20-second tribute to the late, great Dickie Betts. I might not know who Lizzo is, and I might not know Bruno Mars, but I know Dickie Betts, and I know the Ramblin' Man. I don't care how old you are. The man was a gifted musician and an original member of the great Allman Brothers Band. So I salute Dickie Betts, who, by the way, Lee, was a native of Sarasota, Florida. That's where he spent all his time, Bradenton and Sarasota.
He could have given kudos to someone that meant something. And someone that people heard of. And that guy's named Whitey Herzog.
I don't know if you heard it, Lee, but on the Mad Dog, the day that the white rat passed away, he had George Brett on for a half an hour.
I know all about it. As far as it was on the app, I haven't listened to it yet.
Fantastic interview. When we have more time, Lee, you'll explain to me why they called him the white rat. I'm sure you got a Herzog story or two.
I know all about Herzog. Hell, I've got his cell phone, or what was his cell phone? I saw him do his fly ball charts. I used to sit in his office, and maybe the smartest guy I've ever dealt with. And I'm sincere when I say that. He was an absolute quote machine. He was funny. He was a reporter's dream. He was the best. Outside of maybe Bobby Bowden, there was no better storyteller in sports I've ever come across.
Now, our man Steve Isbitz, he's got the Bucks on his mind. Lee, he's got the draft on his mind. So I will turn things over to Mr. Steve Isbitz.
There's nothing to turn over. I just asked you a question about your column, Ira. This is all about... Well, let me clarify a couple things for fans. First, it's the Allman brothers with an L, Allman, in case that didn't come through. I don't want people thinking that Greg Allman is in the band or something, and you know, I don't want people getting confused.
He gets that a lot.
Sage, look, just take it away here. You got a draft pick already, or you're putting your foot down. What's going on?
Lee, here's the way I look at it. You know, we did a show last week, which was interesting. What's in the minds of the people at One Buck Place? That's an interesting topic, Lee. We're looking for tea leaves. We're not exactly sure, but we're trying to give our best estimate about what's going on in the mindset of Light, his scouts, Todd Bowles, maybe even the Glazers. So, Lee, I've been thinking about it. You know, if they stay at 26, who are they likely to get? Who should they get? And I focused on this guy from West Virginia. Lee, don't fall off your chair and don't drop your coffee because he's a center slash guard. I'm sorry, Lee. I'm sorry. His name's Zach Frazier. Big man, 6'3", 315. So, Lee, I'm thinking, look at the traits of the prospects and look at the needs of the Bucks, and when they mesh, then you might have a match. And I think Zach Frazier checks off the boxes. He's a three-year starter, I believe, at center. He played guard his first year at West Virginia. They wisely moved him to center. Lee, the guy is ornery. He sounds like the second coming of Ryan Jensen. And, Lee, they sure need a tone setter up front, as great as Wirfs is, and he's great, Lee. I don't think he's a tone setter with that. You know, I don't think he has that the Jensen mentality, but he's great. Cody Malk, you know, he's young. He's supposed to be physical. He was pretty good as a rookie. Left guard is totally empty. Gedicky, you know. But, Lee, I'm looking for a center who can establish a tone. And I'm looking at Zach Frazier. And, Lee, before I turn it over to you, he's a wrestling champion, Lee. Four-year state wrestling champion. To me, he is Jason Light's dream. Loves football, passionate. I know you don't like drafting a center that high, Lee, but Zach Frazier's my guy. And when I ran it past Sean Sullivan, our resident draft guru, he's got Frazier as his number two center. He doesn't mind picking him at 26. You're not going to go up and, you know, trade up to 18 to get him.
That's surprising. I didn't. Go ahead.
Lee, I just feel he fits the Jason Light profile. And, Lee, as I mentioned in the column, Light has a very good track record with offensive linemen. He does. And it's better than his record with quite a few other positions. I got Zach Frazier. He's my guy, and I'm sticking with him.
Well, I'm very happy that I inspired you, Ira, because I wrote all about him this morning.
I saw that, Lee.
and I would like to see the Bucks draft him in the second round.
In the second round.
I'm all about him. I like him. He might fall in the second round because he had a broken leg that ended his career, his season at West Virginia. I know Brian Baldinger goes crazy over him. I know Dane Brugler likes him, but he too thinks he's a second-round pick. He is a nasty kind of guy, no question about that. Yeah, he was a state championship wrestler like Tristan Wirfs was, so he knows something about leverage. And I remember I was talking about leverage one time with Scott Brantley when he was still somewhat healthy. And I'll never forget what Scott Brantley said. It's all about leverage. And I'd be very happy if the Bucks drafted Zach Frazier in the second round.
Lee, haven't said that. Haven't said it. The fact is, you know, they got low pick. So, Lee, I don't think he's going to be there at 52. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know. If I knew that, I'd be going to Vegas and betting on the draft. I would hope the way he ended his career might push him down the draft a little bit because people might be spooked. And it's understandable if people are spooked by that. But, hey, who says they can't trade back into the second round? Of course, right. The last time the Bucks did that, they wound up with the immortal Logan Hall. So I was hoping they wouldn't repeat that or not. But and there's only that third round draft pick that Light has as a joker card in his hand. Maybe he could trade up into the second round and grab the guy.
Lee, enjoying my donut until you just mentioned Logan Hall, Lee. I was enjoying it.
Well, I'm sure you can find an open Walgreens where you can get some Tums.
Hey, Ira, I got a little issue to take with this whole nasty stuff. And your pick, a reason you like him is that he's nasty. Now, my issue is this, Ira, just the history of it all. You know, we were told that, and Mike Mayock was screaming the day before the draft and during the draft, how Alex Kappa is the nastiest guy he's ever seen. I believe we wrote a story.
Violent was the word he used. Violent.
Yeah. Violent guy he's ever seen. You know, Luke Getick, he's drafted. He's talking about how he's a glass eater. And he's this and he's that. And Tristan Wirfs is an absolute monster, but for some reason they can't run for 4 yards behind the guy. And his run blocking has fallen off from when he was at Iowa. Now, he's still an all-pro guy, but let's be realistic with that. Nasty, Ali Marpet was never called nasty. Never. And he was a superior player. Donovan Smith was called soft, lazy, and all this stuff. And he's got 2 rings. Blocking for the blind side of 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I'm not sure what all this stuff means. I went back and looked, Ira. Ryan Jensen coming out of college, you know, granted it was Division II, he didn't get invited to the combine. There's not a lot of talk about how nasty he was, and it took him time to develop as a professional. Heck, he even had a crew cut. He looked like a little kid coming out of school. And you know, granted he was still 300 pounds, but I don't know. I'm not sure the nasty, I get it, but I'm not sure it really translates. I want to see a good guy who gets after it every play, whether he's nasty or not.
I understand your point, Steve, but as far as some of your examples, I want to point out, Lee, I think it's fair to point out, the first guy you mentioned was Alex Kappa. Lee, Alex Kappa is a 5-year starter in this league for 2 different teams. Alex Kappa is a good right guard. The Bengals are not complaining about him.
Absolutely. Good player. But is it because he's so nasty?
I think that's part of it.
It might help.
Gedicke is now established, Lee, as a pretty decent right tackle. He's not a pro bowler, but he more than held his own. So if he's a glass eater, fine. I think center's a little bit different, Lee. You know, Jensen did bring something to the Bucs that they didn't have at that position in terms of physicality. And, Lee, this offensive line, it's not physical enough, Lee. It's not. And Bowles said he wants to get bigger. He didn't say nastier, but I think it's part of the equation for Bowles, even though he didn't say it. I just like everything about this guy, Frazier. Lee, and apparently once he gets his hands on you, a la a wrestling hold, it's hard to get off the guy. So
seeing pile drive someone at a 50-yard line, but I don't think Roger Goodell would like that.
Sean Sullivan said he's there. He's his number 2 center behind the Oregon guy, Johnson. But he's high on Frazier, and he also said he hopes he's available maybe somewhere in the second round, and maybe Mike can jump up and grab him.
Yeah, and I think I know what Steve is saying, and I think you could be physical without being violent or nasty. I think those are 2 separate things. Right. I used to think being nasty and violent was bordering on illegal, you know, getting flags, getting stupid penalties.
Conrad Doebler, right, Lee? You saw him.
There's no question Conrad Doebler was dirty. But, yeah, he was nasty in the sense that I loved his mentality in a sense. Is like, and he actually said this, my meal ticket is behind me. You're not going to F with my meal ticket. If I have to stomp on your feet, I'm going to stomp on your feet. If I have to choke him, I'm going to choke him. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to keep you away from him. If that means block legally, okay. If that doesn't work, I'm going to try something else. You're not going to mess my meal ticket. You know, I love that attitude in the sense that he was going to do whatever the hell he had to do to keep people away from his quarterback. That was his mentality. He took it too far. But I remember he was in a Pro Bowl, freaking Pro Bowl. Some guy got past him. But he had just enough leverage where he's able to stomp on the guy's foot, and the dude just collapsed in pain.
It reminds me of the Pete Rose play with Ray Fosse, right? In an All-Star game, Lee. Yeah. Steve, if I told you this guy was going to be the Bucs center for 7 years, would you be okay with taking him in the first round?
Sage, look, Bill Polian talked this week. He lectured about how 36% of first-round draft picks, 36% get a second contract from their original team. So any first round pick who's going to last 6-7 years, like you just said. He's obviously done a good job and was a smart pick. You need players wherever they are, so I don't have a problem with it, but you do have to recognize what the odds are, and that nobody wants to talk about all the busts that are coming. But Polian did talk about how statistically the center is one of the safest picks in the draft. High hit rate, and maybe Jason Light, maybe there's something to that. You know, maybe there's something to just grabbing a guy you really believe is going to be, get that second contract. I don't know if Jason Light, I feel like he's very secure in his job and wouldn't be somebody who's worried about that. But you know what? Maybe Todd Bowles is pushing for it, because we heard him say at the combine, we want to get bigger on the offensive line. I have a weird feeling though, Ira, that the Bucs have a lot of confidence in the line now, and they like those two free agents that they signed, Ben Bredesen and the guy from Philly. You know, it just feels like Jason Light might say, hey, you know what? I think we got better with those two guys and people don't even know it. And you got Hainsey in a contract year, and Jason Light's very much a contract year guy. He knows that, some guys love that carrot and they're going to work their ass off. Hainsey's known as a great worker, and maybe he thinks he's got one solid year out of Hainsey and can take a center in the third round to step in next year. I don't know.
Well, Lee, if you think the guy's a premier, I was talking with Sean Sullivan today. Lee, we were talking today, and he is adamant. You take the player, you don't take the position. And I'll say it again, Lee, but guys like Verse, maybe even Chop Robinson, they're off the board, Lee, they're not around. I don't want to stretch for an edge rusher because I'm so desperate, and leave a better player on the board, Lee, especially in another position of need. And I know how you feel about edge rusher, Lee, but, in the words of Bill Polian, you take a guy at your need position, but the guy's not that good a player, you haven't done yourself any favors. You haven't.
This best player available is the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard. Do you really believe if the best player on the board's a left tackle, they're going to draft a left tackle? Or if the guy's a safety? Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, So this best player available is utter nonsense, and the best example I can come up with that is when the Steelers had Bobby Brister and Dan Marino sitting on the board, and old man Rooney wanted Dan Marino and Chuck Noll. No, we need a pass rusher. So they drafted Senior Sack. Before the end of the year, Senior Sack was paralyzed, and Dan Marino's down in Miami starting one of the best careers an NFL quarterback ever had. And how many Super Bowls did that cost the Steelers? But they went with the best player available. Especially these days when coaching tenures are so short, there's no way a coach is going, get the best player available. Even though we got that position and we need this other guy, go ahead.
Well, Lee, in the case of Frazier, it's a neat position, in my opinion.
This is what Warren Sharp said today, and very, very, very interesting, I thought. He, like a lot of people, the Bucs have to get an interior offensive lineman. Okay, what are they going to do? Well, Sharp put it this way, very succinctly. They got rid of their left guards. They didn't get rid of their starting center.
Well, I understand. I understand.
I'm not saying Robert Hainsey is Jim Otto. I'm just saying, I don't think he's the albatross around the Bucks' neck. If Frazier, great. Pick a name of a center, great. I'm just not going to do it in the first round. You could put a gun to my head. You could say, either I pull the trigger or we draft a center in the first round. See you on the other side, pull the trigger. I'm not going to do it. That's me. The top 10 paid centers, those guys on average were drafted in late in the third round, on average. I just can't commit that kind of money to a center as a rookie when you got two guys that are wanting to get paid. Those guys are Winfield and Wirfs. I'd rather pay that money to an edge rusher, to a linebacker. Oh, the Bucks need a linebacker. Yes, they do. A cornerback, a wide receiver, someone that can make a play, someone where there's a need, not guard and center.
Well, I'll say this, Steve, and I don't think you guys could argue against this. Not so much a position, but where do you need help? What do you need help in? And Steve, unless you want to contradict me, which you're very good at, Steve, the Bucks need the most help right now in the spring of 2024 is fixing an anemic running game. That is my number one priority. Now, Lee can talk about pass rush all he wants, but the fact is, they get their 47 sacks every year. They can do better on pressures, no question. But what they stink at is running the football. They stink.
In a passing
You want to blame White? You want to blame Tristan Wirfs? I don't care who you blame, Steve, but it's the thing that jumps out at you the most that they have to fix.
Sage, I would agree that that is their greatest weakness, along with the consistent edge rush. So there you go. Yeah, there. It's a question of how do you want to fix that running game? Do you want to do it by bringing in a running back that you have a lot of confidence in? Maybe two. They've got at least one opening there, and maybe they want even more competition and want to make sure they walk out of there with at least one quality running back, which teams find every year. Or do you want to improve it by doing it on the offensive line? Again, I have this sneaking suspicion that the Bucs feel like they already got better on the offensive line, and Jason Light hasn't been a draft a guy in the first round or offensive line GM, but right. You know, maybe he would have done that with Donovan Smith if he felt he had to trade up to get him when they took Smith at, I believe it was number 32 overall or 33. So I don't know where Light's head is at. That's the mystery of this whole thing. One of the interesting things, Ira, is that Light, you know, said, obviously we may have had a couple of jokes about it last time, but he said that if the mock draft world is pointing us to one player, then I'll probably throw some misdirection out there, you know, to sort of change that narrative. And we know that everybody, or a lot of the mocks, are pointing toward the Penn State edge rusher, Chop Robinson. And I don't see Light sort of doing anything to change that. Like, I haven't picked up on anything there. Maybe he's waiting. But you had Peter Schrager, who put out his mock draft. He's doing one more. He did a whole media tour. I think, I don't know if any shows he didn't go on, from Pat McAfee to he was on Sirius talking about his mock draft, Rich Eisen, Dan Patrick, all of them. And he made it very clear that his draft is based on intelligence, talking to people. We know he's super close. He was with Bucks assistant GM, and he's got the Bucks taking Graham Barton, the senior out of Duke, you know, a tackle who's supposed to be a transition to interior lineman. I don't know if they're throwing him off there, you know, intentionally or what he's heard. And it's hard to say, but he did mention that teams are calling teams like the Bucks in the lower end of the first round because they're saying, hey, if Michael Penix slips, we would like to trade up. So maybe the Bucks would want to trade down. I don't know.
You know, Lee, my first reaction to Schrager putting out his mock drafts and having the Bucks associated with Barton is that means they're not the draft guy.
Yeah.
Lee, that's my reaction.
Misinformation, huh?
Because Light / Greenberg would have got a hold of Schrager beforehand and said, don't put this other guy out that they're really interested in. So I think Barton's a pretty good prospect, Lee. He's versatile. But the fact that Schrager... Yeah, he went to Duke, but the fact Schrager's got the Bucks all over this guy tells me that probably isn't going to happen. Lee, why do you think Light and his scouting department have such a good track record when it comes to the guys up front, in particular in that position? I believe Light was a linebacker for the most part, and he played college football. I think he was a linebacker.
Actually, he was offensive lineman at Nebraska.
Only 1 year, I think, Lee. Only
yeah, and then he went to Nebraska Wesleyan, but he was an offensive lineman because Light was an offensive lineman. he knows the position all too well. I'm assuming he learned some tricks from Belichick, probably, or if I remember correctly, wasn't he hired by Don Shula, and then he was there when Jimmy Johnson came in, if I remember correctly. But he probably learned some tricks along the way about offensive line, maybe from Pioli. Patriots had a pretty decent offensive line for a while there. Was he part of that, of scouting those guys?
I believe he was. But, of course, they had Brady, who gets rid of the ball like nobody's business.
Oh, sure. They had Mankins, and they had some other guys that were pretty good. I can't remember their names off the top of my head.
They did.
I just think that Light knows what he's looking for with offensive linemen.
Steve, I got a public service announcement, Stevie. I do. Doing my research for my Zach Frazier column. Steve, I looked over, Light's picks on the offensive line, and I am here to report to Buck Nation and our listeners from Guam to Rome, Caleb Beninock was released from the Canadian Football League last summer, and looks like he's done. He's done. That's my announcement, Steve. He's done.
All right, Sage. I get it. I get it. Hey, Ira, I got, we got to let everybody know in case they want to get an updated look at the Sage, at least a strong profile. You know, the Buccaneers post-published their latest In the Current episode, that little Hard Knocks-ish corporate sanitized spinoff that they run. And Ira was on there. You know, we were the Ira Kaufman podcast was featured on that video by the Buccaneers. And you see Jason Light sitting there talking to the Sage. A lot of fun there. A lot of fun. So Ira asked him if Mike Evans was pissed off, you know, by not getting a contract. You get to watch Jason Light squirm a little bit with that question. If you want to see Ira, he's on there. And yeah, that was kind of cool. So I'm glad the Bucks included
him. Hold on, Steve. I just want to say that their film department, they do an excellent job. And it's like the same people that put together that Rondé Barber movie prototype. It was 90 minutes. I saw it at the film festival in Tampa. They got talented people working back there, and you know, it's sanitized, you know, and you know, we know who pays the bills for these people, but they do a good job, Steve. It looks professional.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was a fun watch. This was might have been one of the better ones they've ever done, and not even counting you in it, Iris. So Sage, you know, as we get down here, and our next podcast will be with JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan, his annual mock draft, and we sort of poke holes in what he is going to be spitting out there and challenge him a little bit. We'll have some fun over at Bill Curry Ford, and you can get there this weekend if you want to and talk to Sean in advance. BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry on the east side, like we heard. You know, so if somebody pins you down, Sage, and says, I'm not giving you another bagel or a donut until you answer this question. Running game, you said, is their number one need. Not everybody would agree with you, but what's 2 and 3 on the need chart?
Well, a very close 2 is edge rusher. Maybe a slash co, you know, 1 and 1A. I'm right there with Lee, but I think Lee doesn't disagree with me that you got to put some juice in the running game. I don't know how to do it, Lee. I don't really know how to do it. Yeah, well, I take some blame, but I think there's a way to get some bigger holes open for White, and maybe White's not the guy. Lee, you know, it's a complex thing, but I just don't think this offensive line is very physical in the run game. I think the pass protection is more than adequate, and now they got some holes to fill at left guard. Lee, Steve is more, I don't know, he's got more confidence in these new guys that Light brought in than I do. I'm not sure they have the production behind them, Lee, that I want to see. I mean, I'm not sold on Bredesen or the other guy. I'm not going to trust them. I want some new beef. So anyway, run game slash edge rusher, and then, Lee, I would say running back. Those are my three.
Run game, edge rusher, running back.
Well, I mean, O-line, edge rusher, running back. There you go.
To me, 1 through 3.
Yep.
Edge rush.
That's cheating, Lee. That's cheating.
Well, they need to cheat. They're that bad. The run game, I mean, they were like one decent run away from 1,000 yards. I'm not saying Rashad White's Jim Brown. Not even close. You could argue Canales misused the guy. I'm all for getting another running back. Audric Estime seems to be the polar opposite of Rashad White. A guy that makes people miss, guy that gets yacked. A guy that runs people over, a physical dude. That would be right there. But you know what? I can't get over it. It's a passing league. It's a passing league. So running game to me is secondary just off the bat. Before you even talk about personnel, it's secondary. Or it should be, because it's a passing league. Edge rush, and for the very same reason, edge rush. The Bucks. I mean, when your number two edge rusher is Joe Tryon Shoyinka, you need an edge rush. Far more than a running back.
Steve, they had the number 7 scoring defense, I believe, in football. That's not bad. It's not shabby, Steve. But it's a fact, Lee, they've got the worst ground game in the league. 2 years
in a
running.
League. In a passing league.
That means wouldn't a better running game help your passing game, Lee?
Maybe.
Well,
I just think in the 21st century, when it's clear as crystal that it's a passing league, to me, what you do with the run game is immaterial. I think an edge rusher is light years more important than a running back.
Well, you don't
I'll just quote Gil Brandt. Number one position quarterback. Number two position pass rusher. Number three position left tackle. He knew more about football than me.
Lee, it's not like the Bucs got Patrick Mahomes under center, Lee. I mean, they...
That's also why I like you, and unlike Steve, I am all for drafting Michael Penix. I mean, you know, this notion that Baker Mayfield will melt down and, oh my God, Baker Mayfield, what's Baker Mayfield going to do? They get Michael Penix, good Lord. Well, the Packers had Brett Favre once upon a time. They drafted Aaron Rodgers. I didn't see him collapse. Again, he's not Mayfield, I get that. And then fast forward a little while. Aaron Rodgers was a damn good starting quarterback. They drafted Jordan Love. I didn't see Aaron Rodgers collapse. Alex Smith was a Pro Bowl quarterback, if I recall correctly. I'm not saying he was great, but he was good. He was decent. He was a playoff quarterback. Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes. They sit him. I don't recall Alex Smith turning into Trent Dilfer all of a sudden. But so I don't get this notion that, you know, Mayfield will just completely break apart mentally if they draft Michael Penix. And, oh, by the way, the idea that Schrager's putting out, that these teams are calling Light to set the stage to trade up with Light so they get Penix, maybe that should tip off Light that he should be drafting Penix if he gets there.
You know, Steve, a couple of points. One, Penix, he's one of the more polarizing players, Steve, in the draft. Some guy came out with a mock draft and had him like number 10 or 11. A team like trading up with the Jets at 10 and to take him. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, trading up with the Jets, okay.
Yeah, I think that's crazy, Steve. I don't think that's going to happen. But, Steve, my bigger point, and I'd like you to weigh in on it, Steven. Not that you need an invitation when I make a statement. Steve, the running game has been terrible for 2 years. And, Steve, overall, their offense has been lousy for 2 years. I see a connection.
I understand, Ira. I understand.
They don't score enough points. And are you telling me that it has nothing to do with a defense that doesn't respect the run game, doesn't respect play action, and that they're always in second and eight? Of course there's a connection, Steve.
Well, I think there's a connection not as strong as what you're talking about. I would put the three needs at edge rusher, running back, and I would put the third need as receiver. And I look at Jason Light, who has made tremendous efforts over many years, to have three A-list receivers on the team. Going back to when he signed DeSean Jackson. Godwin in here, and yes, they also signed, they had Evans, and then Tom Brady immediately wanted a third big money receiver in here, Antonio Brown. They spent a lot of money on Russell Gage. Light has always made this effort to have three receivers. And I think that receiver, they really don't have anything at number four receiver. They don't have anything at number five receiver. Trey Palmer is a bit of a question mark, although he showed some excellent signs. I would go get that receiver because you can't go wrong with another excellent receiver in the passing league we're talking about. I don't care about Mike Evans' age. I don't view him as an old body. Chris Godwin, though, I view as an older body in some ways because of his injury history, you know, and his contract's coming out. And I don't think they're going to stick with him if he has a little bit of a down year at 29 years old. So I would put that as the third need. Liam Cohen, though, I think is the biggest X factor here. This bad offense and running game you're talking about, I think some of it comes back to the offensive coordinators. You know, they
Leftwich was an idiot.
You know, Leftwich didn't know the running game well as far as being an innovator. Bruce Arians was never an innovator with the running game. He wasn't known for that at all. And Canales obviously, you know, did some things that didn't make sense with the running game. Doesn't mean he didn't call some good plays here and there, but I'm hoping Liam Cohen makes this thing better. And just lastly, with the quarterback, Lee, what I'm talking about with Mayfield and his mind as far as drafting a quarterback, Mayfield has proven to be emotionally volatile in his career. He's been up and down. He's been inconsistent. He threw a ton of picks early in his career for 1 year, not Jameis Winston level, but a lot of picks. He's been on four. This is his fourth team. He's not the Hall of Fame caliber guys that you mentioned. And, you know, Alex Smith had, you know, was a three-time Pro Bowler when he left Kansas City and had a tremendous record of consistency. The guy never threw picks. I think he's one of the lowest rates in the history of the league once he got into the regular starting lineup after his first injury. So I don't think those guys have the mental makeup of Mayfield, and I think they're playing with fire. One thing they like about Mayfield is his fire and his passion and his chip on his shoulder and all that. And I just think he strikes me as a guy who would have a problem with a stud rookie on the bench. That's all. Just all from right, his history. Just from his history.
All right. Lee, I would suggest that Mayfield doesn't have the track record that, to me, generates unwavering confidence that he's still going to be the guy 3 years from now. I don't have that. He might be. He might not be. But this ain't Tom Brady what we're talking about, Lee. Number two, and this is directed to Chairman of the Board, Mr. Isbitz. Steve, I want you to expand on this a little because I don't quite understand it. What has given you this confidence that the Bucs have enough quality competition on the offensive line? As it stands right now, why are you so confident about this?
I never said that. What I said was I think Jason Light is confident in the guys that he brought in. I said Jason Light, I believe, is confident that he got better with those two guys and that Malk is going to add weight and take that second year leap. And they love Gedeki and Wirfs. They also think will be better in his second year at the position. He won't be figuring things out anymore. He'll hit the ground running. So I think the Bucs think they're better on the O-line already. Not me. That if they're thinking that, it makes sense. It may not be as good as we want it to, but I still see no excuse why the Bucs can't have the 20th ranked running game, which would be a little better complement to the passing game. I don't see any excuse for that. So I don't think Light does either.
I'll throw this to you, Lee. As things stand right now, the current roster, the interior offensive line, the two guards, and the center position, it's not very good, Lee. It's not very good by NFL quality. You're going to rank 32 teams. They're at 25 in the interior offensive line. I'm not counting Wirfs or Gedeki, and they might be lucky to be 25. Lee, I don't think that's not good enough, Lee. That's just not good enough.
I'm not against upgrading, but need I say for the 50th time, no way in hell I'm drafting a center in the first round or a guard. Doesn't mean you can't upgrade. Doesn't mean at all you can't upgrade. Just no go on the first round. No go on interior offensive line. No go, no go, no go. if that means you got to trade back, okay. Not with a first round pick.
And Lee, did I just hear Isbitz say he's worried about the fifth wide receiver position?
No,
I'm worried. He just said they don't have one.
No, I'm saying they don't have any depth at wide receiver. They don't. Right? If I hear the name Rock Jarrett one more time, stop it. He hasn't. He made one great catch. He's a young player, undrafted. Maybe he can make it. I hope he can. But stop talking to me about him. Devin Tompkins. Nobody's mentioned him all off season. I've chronicled that they're not too interested in him. And so you've got your number three guy, and we've had Julio Jones in here. We've had Gage making $10 million a year. We had, you know, DeSean Jackson coming in here being signed. They went out of their way and talked about how they missed 1 year on, and we had that private conversation, Ira, how they missed on Breshad Perriman, and then they got him back the following year in 2019 as an important number three, and then he had a real good year in 2019, and then he left. So I feel like they're going to prioritize that, especially with a $30 million quarterback. There'd be no greater crime to Team Glazer than if, God forbid, Chris Godwin pulls a hamstring and they're running out there with not enough weapons, with paying your quarterback $30 million. That's not happening.
And Steve, I just want to remind you gentlemen that I was also the guy, and I'm the only guy, that said last week that somehow, some way, if this player slips to number 20 and he's still there, go get him. And Lee, that guy was Brock Bowers. You can call him a tight end, or you can call him a glorified wide receiver. But I did say it, Lee. I did say that. So in that respect, I'm not disagreeing with Steve that they need help besides Evans and Godwin. Otten's okay. He's not bad. He's okay. Played better as the season went on. Made some big catches, including, I think, the biggest grab of the year in Atlanta. Won that game. They were 5-7. They lose that game, Lee. You and I talked about it. I think they're done. I think they're done. But they won it.
We're going to give you a homework assignment, Ira. You got to quit scatter shooting. When we show up next week at Bill Curry Ford with our annual Sean Sullivan appearance to go through the draft, you got to come to a consensus, Ira. Is it going to be this Frazier from West Virginia? Is it going to be Michael Penix? Is it going to be Brock Bowers? You got to make up your mind, Ira. Just like Jason Light. Jason Light's going to have to make up his mind. Got to make up your mind.
Well, Lee, Bowers is a lot better prospect than Zach Frazier. I'm not crazy. That's why he's going to go in the top 10. But, Lee, if he doesn't and he starts sliding and he gets past the Jets at 10, you know, you never know. And so I got no illusions about Bowers. He's a top 5 or 10 talent. I think he's one of the safe guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. in this draft, Lee. I think he's a can't miss. But I don't think he's going to be there. Lee, I just threw that out there that if he slides, because every year somebody slides, and it's a tight end, and Lee, not a lot of teams like to take tight ends in the first round. Lee, they don't.
I'm reading a comment here in your column from a longtime commenter on Joe Buck's fan, and he comments very often. He goes by the handle of Rod Munch.
Okay.
And two short sentences, he summed up your issue with Frazier et al. It's not 1970. Throw the ball. Don't worry about the run.
But, Lee, it's not working. It's not working. They've got a lousy offense.
Well, as Steve said, let's see what happens with Liam Cohen.
All right.
Yeah, as Sage, well, I think that's a huge X factor, the quality of the play calling. You know, it can take you from lousy to decent pretty fast. That's what should have happened with the running game last year. I mean, remember, we're back-to-back last in the league with yards per carry. It's really hard to do. It hadn't been done in 16 years, 17 years. Lee, what do you think, and I'll give you a little time to think about this. Lee, what do you think Todd Bowles, when he's knocking on Jason Light's office door, what is he telling Jason? Hey, we're getting close here. This is what we got to get. This is who we got to get or what we got to get. This is what I need to get better next year and improve on the really high standard we set.
Jason, I just lost Devin White. We got to find another Devin White.
They just got rid of him, Lee.
I know. Bowles is best for defense. So, and I totally agree with Steve, by the way. I've even written about, is it Brian Thomas, the LSU receiver?
Yeah.
Oh, man, would I love to get him. I agree with Steve about wide receiver because, number one, Evans is under a 2-year contract, and who knows if Father Time taps him on the shoulder next October. Who knows?
Right.
Godwin, obviously, is on a contract year. We don't know about him. So very, very quickly, the Bucs could have a major need at receiver. Well, if the receivers are being pushed down the draft because there's so many, it's a good receiver draft, well, take advantage of that. Take advantage of that.
I like Thomas. I don't think he'll be there at 26.
I don't know if he'll be there at 26, but, you know, again, this is a big receiver draft, very deep. Take advantage of that. And that's number one. Number two, probably the Bucs are thinner at inside linebacker than they are anywhere. I mean, I love Lavonnie Gabriel with a passion. And by the way, the Bucs put out a video, Ira, that will shame you to not take Lavonnie David serious as a Hall of Fame candidate someday. If that's not a sales pitch of a video, I've never seen one. That is one hell of a video. They arm you with facts. And Luke Kuechly's grossly overrated. You got to watch this video, Ira. It's very eye-opening. At any rate, Lavonte's on his last year. Maybe, maybe not. But you really, reasonably, you can't bank on a soon-to-be 35-year-old linebacker. You can't bank on it.
Right.
So you got to face facts. As hard as they are sometimes, and this is one of them, you got to start preparing for life after Lavonte David. This Dennis guy, Servacier Dennis, absolute question mark. He had one good worthless preseason game, which means nothing. And after that, he was the only rookie last year that didn't do a damn thing. Let's be honest. You know, didn't do a damn thing. Every other rookie showed some promise, if not more than that.
So I don't know if he's going to be a good player. I don't know if he's going to be a bad player. I just don't know. And you and I talked about Britt before, and we don't know how good of a pass defender he is. He's pretty damn good on the run. I don't know about the pass. So I think that's a major question mark, maybe bigger than what we are giving it credit for.
Lee, to be fair to Savassier Dennis, he didn't get a lot of opportunity. Lee, he did.
You're right.
You know, he's playing behind David.
You're
and
not
White.
Get snaps, yeah.
And Britt, yeah, he's not going to get snaps. We don't know about Dennis. That's fair. But I'm not down on him, Bill, if it's rookie season. I'm not down on him.
That's a good point. To your point earlier about, you know, you got to follow your board. If an inside linebacker slides, let's say this guy from Mississippi State, his name escapes me, he's very good. Right. If he happens to slide, I think White's got to take the guy seriously. He went to Mississippi State. He's supposed to be, you know, next great inside linebacker, and they're not as valuable as they once were.
That could be interesting, Steve. I don't disagree with your point about depth at wide receiver. It's weak. It's weak. Of course, one of the strengths of the team is the Evans-Godwin tandem, but you need more than that in this league.
Well, Sage, I say everything with the framework of I believe the Bucs can get to the NFC Championship game next year. So it's about depth for a high-quality team, and nobody's complaining about the Bucs receiving core, but you got the more juice you can add, the better. They got to add some juice somewhere. I know, you know, and if you're going to draft that offensive lineman in the first round, yeah, that could be an upgrade. The guy's still going to be a rookie. It'd be nice to add some juice somewhere to the offense versus just a guy who blocks a little bit better. You know, and I think that really needs to come. Hopefully they find that running back later in the draft, but it would be great because I don't see them getting the, you know, Bowers, of course, at tight end. And I'm not sure there are a lot of guys who can help them at tight end necessarily the way they might do the formations. And Jason Light really likes Payne Durham, and he made some spectacular catches last year, but didn't get a lot of opportunity.
By the way, Edrin Cooper is the guy I was thinking of.
Edrin Cooper.
He went to Texas A&M, not Mississippi State.
Lee, what position, and you know, we've done, you know, three or four draft podcasts here, and Lee, we're a little bit negligent. I think you could say it's a position of need, clearly. And we don't talk about it much as corner, Lee, not safety, corner. Alton Davis is gone. You and I have talked about McCollum. We like his ceiling. We like his potential, but he's not there yet. Jamel Dean, you know, this is not, you know, Darrell Revis we're talking about. What if Bulls really liked a corner who was sitting there at 26? Would you have a problem with it?
No, I've written this a couple times, and I've mentioned it on your podcast. I'm good with them drafting Kool-Aid.
Isn't the pass rush more important than the corner?
You know me. Pass rush is more important than anything but a quarterback. However, once again, I don't have a problem. That's not saying I would rather have an edge. I would not rather have an edge rusher, but I would not have a problem if Bulls picked a cornerback. You know, like Kool-Aid. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm like you. I don't think, you know, I'm a little concerned about the depth at corner. If they're willing to trade Carlton Davis, then how much job security can Jamel Dean have? And I'd like to see some more consistency from Zion McCollum. So, yeah, I don't think cornerback is this great, deep position on the Bucs. They've got some young guys who could do something, but then could. The key word, could. I'm not saying I'm advocating for him to do this, but I would have no problem if Bulls drafted a cornerback. I prefer him to draft an edge rusher, and I prefer him not to touch a friggin' inside offensive lineman at 26.
You know, Steve, I'll throw it out to you as we approach the end of the podcast, Steve. But if Jamel Dean is your top returning corner, Steve, is that a problem?
I don't see it as a problem. I look at they obviously made an in-house decision that we want to get rid of one of these guys, not two. So I think Todd Bowles loves having a guy with that kind of skill and experience being his number one corner. I don't think he wants McCollum on another team's best player if he can help it. I don't think he'd want a rookie necessarily on another team's best receiver. So, I mean, I come back to what does Bowles think of his cornerbacks? I think he's probably really high on them, and he probably likes the two guys, the young veterans that they got in free agency to mix in. It's a little better than some of the depth he's had before with D. Delaney and those types that they've had running around the roster. I don't really know what they think of Christian Isian. That's a big question mark to me. I would love to see him get a potential nickel cornerback with a lot of juice in the second or third round. If they could find a guy like that, that would be exciting to me. You know, everybody comes into the Bucs defense and talks about how complex it is. You better make sure that that rookie, if you're trying to, you know, take a step and get to the NFC title game, that that rookie is the kind of player that can handle the Bulls playbook and thrive as a rookie.
Lee, I'll say this. As far as Jamel Dean, Lee, I don't know. He leaves a little something to be desired. I can't put my finger on it. He doesn't get any picks, and he's been in this league a long time. He's shown no inclination to get picks, Lee. And every year I hear Kevin Ross say, you got to take the ball away. Well, he doesn't do it, Lee. He doesn't do it. And, you know, he misses 3-4 games a year. I don't know. He's not bad, Lee, but I keep waiting for him to take the next step, Lee. By this time, I'm not sure he will.
What I'm going to say is going to anger you, and it angers a lot of people. I think fundamentals are more important than picks. I know NFL people, that's all they talk about. Well, I've got stats that demonstrate that sacks are probably more important than picks, but yet they don't believe in an edge rusher. So I want a guy to play fundamentally good football. Get a guy down, play good defense, break up a pass, prevent a pass from getting completed, get the other team off the field, make them punt the ball. That's number one. Picks will come. If you play well, picks will come. I just think the root evil of the NFL today, well, number one is Roger Goodell. Number two, the second root evil, is overemphasis on turnovers. There's all kinds of evidence that teams with turnovers don't win, just like there's evidence that teams with turnovers do win. What drives me nuts is lousy fundamentals, lousy tackling. And I dare say that leads to more loss than not getting picks.
Zade, you know, the turnover thing, it's a great discussion. A lot of people would say it affects the quarterbacks and how games are play called if they're afraid of interceptions. But I've mentioned this a long time ago. Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean, they combined over five seasons. They combined for 6 interceptions in college. They just weren't ball hawks. The Bucs knew that when they got them, and they won a Super Bowl with him. But they still want the turnovers, and Dean just isn't that guy, and that's who he is. But Sage, say goodbye to the fans. We'll be back with a crazy, exciting podcast next week. 2 of them before the draft. One will be our big mock draft craziness show. What do you got in your goodbye, Ira?
Steve, I cannot wait to get to Bill Curry Ford World Headquarters, Dale Mabry, a little north of the stadium. Lee, it's a highlight every year. We will challenge him, Lee. We will laugh with him.
Sage, of course, you're talking about Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru.
We'll poke a few holes in him, but it's always a highlight, and I think it's going to be a hell of a podcast.